Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast, ahead of Saturday's racing on ITV Racing, of course. And this is very much something for everyone. The flat is back. Whoop, whoop. I never thought I'd be the person to give a whoop, whoop to the flat is back. I was always a jumps girl. And now I just feel like I'm really looking forward to the flat season. You've converted me, Brendan. Your passion, your enthusiasm, your quotes, you've got me there in the end, Brendan Duke.
Now you're the woman for the quotes, Vanessa, to be fair. I think I more celebrate the diversity in this great game. When the flat season is coming to an end, I'm relishing the start of the national hunt season, vice versa. Now, I take your point. If I had to give up my firstborn to lose either flat or national hunt, I'd probably do away with the national. Well, I might do away with the firstborn, actually, but it'd be between the firstborn and the national hunt, but one or the other. We're very lucky that we have two games. So yes, roll on the flat.
We are that lucky element is how I feel about my job. So I always feel like I love my job and I love doing it, but I love coming home. And how lucky is that, hey, Daryl Carter, that, you know, you love being out and about, but then you love being back at home just as much. It's like, it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly. Thrilled to see the flat back this Saturday. It's a nice change of pace, you know, just after the big hustle and bustle of Cheltenham. It's a nice, gives you a bit of a refresh. I've just had 4 days off, so I'm very refreshed.
Genuine question. Are you a flat? I don't know where your origins lie. Are they flat or jumps?
Oh, very much jumps. But I do like the change of pace. You know, I love the fact that it's, you know, it's split up and you sort of, I know it starts a little bit early, the flat, but you come out of the jump season into the flat. And then by the time that's over, you get all excited for the jumps again. So roll in carousel, if you like.
Like it. And as we're talking about carousels, check yours out. Check that out for a link. That was class. Well done. Betfair users out there, check out your carousel. We've got a whole host of different offers, extra place races. Go and see your carousel to see what is available to you. But you do need to read your T's and C's. You will need to opt into anything and you will need to do it responsibly, please. That's what I do request. Right, let's kick off with the flat being back at Doncaster. Very exciting indeed. Of course, the Lincoln meeting, we've got the Brocklesby and the Doncaster Mile, which will be the first race we're looking at. Heavy ground, racing on heavy ground currently, but of course we are recording this on Thursday afternoon as we always do for preview shows, so just bear that in mind. But we are working off the fact that on the Racing Post website currently the ground is heavy. Shall we kick off with the Doncaster Mile, lads? As the name suggests, over the mile, Captain Obvious here, listed race, and Knight is at the forefront of the market for Simon and Ed Crispin, who you just very much get the impression the big year awaits them for the flat season. 2-1, top of the market. Charion in there, next best for the Varian Yard, 11-4. And Astral Bow is your 4-1 third favourite currently. Obviously, all these horses, most of them anyway, off their winter breaks, back for the turf campaign. And this is Knight's sort of game, isn't it? Listed race. He's not quite Group One company or anything like that, but we know his level, and this is it, isn't it, Daryl?
Yeah, you'd think so. And with that visor first time, you'd hope that he'd be running a career best performance like he did in the first time cheap pieces at Sandown at the back end of last season when he was just done on the line by Chindit. He was just Chindit by Chindit, if you like. He's very, very solid at the top of the market. I think he's a horse that wants a bit further in time, to be honest. What are you going to get on his seasonal return? You know, is anyone's guess. There's not a whole host between him and Sharon. They've met a couple of times before. Sharon behind him at Goodwood. Goodwood didn't quite go the way of Sharon that day, slowly away. They had to come down the centre of the track. They're very much, they're very tight in the betting and they're very tight on the bare form. I was going to take a chance with Holloway Boy. I feel like he's up there with the two in terms of form, but I don't think he's had the rub of the green a whole lot. Now, we haven't seen much of him. We last saw him in the Jersey Stakes at Ascot last year when he was beaten 1.5 lengths by Age of Kings. But again, drawn very low, out in the centre of the track, had to race on his own, do most of his own donkey work away from where the action developed. Too keen in the Guineas before that, was fitted with headgear there. On his seasonal return, just really too keen in that headgear for a seasonal return. But last year in the Vert Vituity behind August Roden, I don't know if you remember that race, but he was on the wrong side of the track. Pays to be drawn high, I feel, at Doncaster. and he led his group over the far side of the track, and he hung violently right across to the other side to August Rodin.
Yeah.
But he stayed on pretty powerfully in deep ground there. And that, again, was with headgear on. No headgear on this time. Seasonal return. We know he can go rail fresh. He was the first winner, Royal Ascot debutant winner since 1996. A little stat there for you. I think these might be his ideal conditions. And I think this is his level. He's been gelded. I think he's just too big of a price at 5-1. I don't think he's got as much to find with the top two in the market as the prices suggest.
Okay, like the angle of Holloway Boy then, very much Kevin Blake's sort of cliff horse a little bit on and off. But we know Kev Blake is a big fan of Holloway Boy and, of course, the Carl Burke team in very good form. But when are they not? Hey, Brendan, they're just one of those operations that rattle along at a pretty high strike rate. Winter, all-weather, turf, doesn't bother them.
Yeah, no, he's a proper operator, the Boy Burke. Yeah, which was the reason I too ended up with Holloway Boy. The only thing that was puzzling me was that I saw he was put in 7-2 and he's now 5-1. Now, probably shouldn't pay masses of attention to these very early moves. I mean, they're tepid markets, so the market could easily come back from. But it's just we haven't seen him since the Jersey Stakes. Has he had a problem? Is he fully back? But basically, Darren, with the gelding, he seems, whether these are his ideal conditions, I don't know, but he certainly seems ground versatile. I too thought he was just too big of a price of 5-1 against. Well, I mean, Knight's a talented horse, but he's a bit of a rogue, isn't he?
You can see
why the visor's on him. He's not a warrior of the turf.
He's not a warrior of the turf, but then, you know, Holloway Boy's clearly had his little issues and niggles along the way as well. Yeah. But as you say, at the prices, it's a risk you're willing to take. Brendan, let's stick with you for the Brocklesby. Of course, a whole clutch of unraised two-year-olds in here. Love it. Love this time of year. Two-year-olds to the form. We already had the two-year-old race over at the Curragh, which was won, of course, by an Ammo Racing horse. And that is ownership set that top the betting here. It's Mystical Elegance, a Zoo Star filly for Team Ammo Racing, 9-4 top of the market. Do we expect them to double up here and win the first UK two-year-old race of the season as well, Brendan?
Well, I mean, she has to go in fav. It's Ammo Racing, so you'd imagine they had a few options here. She's a 1st of February foal, half-sister to a 90-rated horse. Betfair, I mean, I don't know whether this is going to encourage people to have a bet because it's such a guessing game, but a couple you might be interested in with the extra place here. Hidden Hero is the oldest horse in the race. Has been gelded. Now, his price dropped from foal to yearling, but that might be to do with the fact that he's by Landforce. Landforce didn't pull up any trees with his first crop, to be fair. And the Duke of Hather is interesting, cost 47,000. And it's the first runner from the first crop of Mo Hather, who was obviously a seriously talented horse, but fragile. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. I don't think I'll be having a bet written lesson, but they were just a few little points.
A few little nuggets.
That's all.
Love it. And the first season sire table we will be covering with interest, I am sure, over the summer. Daryl, is this a bet that, is this a race that you could have a bet in? Does your betting strategy allow for a whole host of unraced two-year-olds?
No, it wouldn't. There'll be a lot more people that would know a lot more about these unraced horses than me. The Betfair traders being one of them. They put Mystical Elegance in at the top of the market. And as Brendan said, Ammo Racing, you can see why they had a whole host to choose from entered in this race earlier in the week. They've gone for the speedier bred of the lot. And you'd have to respect them having won the race the last 2 years. But it's a race I'd steer clear of personally.
Okay. What about then? We'll move on to the Spring Mile. Harswell Duke is your 6-1 favourite. Done it here, obviously, before and is off the back of a run. So is race fit for this, which can't be said for a few in behind him in the betting. The likes of Titan, 6-1. Arthur's Realm in there at 7-1. All obviously coming here for their seasonal reappearance. Then there's Helter Skelter, who's also had a recent run, actually, and is very unexposed at 7-1. So, Daryl, this race, just one of those ones, very sort of different profiles coming in. What are you trying to favour here?
Well, I like a high draw at Doncaster. So anything drawn low. I mean, look at the race last year. They were left well behind. The low draws were left well behind. So I like a high draw at Doncaster. I like something that's going to be up with the pace. I don't like my horses trying to come from off the pace in heavy ground. And it brought me back to last year's 1-2, which was Harwell, Duke and Tishan, and or Titan. I'm a bit disappointed they've been put in at the top of the market, but I ended up on Harwell, Duke, just because he's had that run under his belt. They've done it exactly the same as they did last year in preparation, going to Newcastle, then coming here. He's £8 lower. They would have targeted this race. Same jock, identical draw, identical ground. He must go well, and perhaps that's why they put him in at a short price, which is slightly disappointing. Like you mentioned, Helter Skelter is very unexposed. Would fear that horse. The boys, the horse watchers, definitely know the time of day. So they probably would have had a look at this race before running 8 days ago. But I couldn't make a massively strong case for a lot of other horses in the race. Dirty Old Town was one I was leaning towards as well, because he was on the wrong side of the track last year. It just the fact that he comes here without a run just puts me off slightly. So I just kept coming back to Harwell, Duke. Not an attractive price, 6-1 at the top of the market in a big race like this, but I felt would definitely be in the frame.
Well, it's a wide open betting contest, as you say, Harwell, Duke, 6-1 currently. But should just point out that there are six places here. So plenty of opportunity to get involved in the each way market. And I know there's a big field, but is that the way you're playing it, Brendan, with a nod of your head over there?
Well, I mean, I'll have to have an each-way bet given the price my selection is. My 16-1 about this Thunder Roar looks completely wild price to me. I mean, he's a lightly raced five-year-old. He won twice last October. The York form looks particularly strong. And then he followed up on this course, granted over 7 furlongs, but was strong at the line, which would give you hope for the mile. And then he reappears in Southall a couple of weeks ago, 22-1. I mean, how can the horse on a hat-trick be 22-1? Would suggest he wasn't fully tuned up, runs way above market expectations to finish third. So I expect him to step up here. Jamie Spencer goes to Doncaster for one ride. The boy Coyle must have been on the phone. Come up, Jamie, because this horse actually, if he has a slight tendency, it's to run a bit keen. So we need the magic hands of Jamie Spencer. Just now, don't overdo it on Settler. He doesn't need to be last. This horse can race handy. I want to see him in the second wave, because actually, funny enough, there's lots of runners, but it's not loaded with obvious pace. Now, I think he'll be running a good clip, but Jamie can sit in the second wave, stalk and pounce, and make his one ride in Doncaster count. 16-1 just looks way over to me.
Well, unfortunately for you, Brendan, a lot of other people thought that too, because the 16s has gone missing in action, I'm afraid. Oh. And we're down to 8-1.
Oh, jeez. I only checked that about half an hour ago. Okay. Well, 8-1. All right, well, yeah, 8-1 is that's quite
it's a little funny. Bit of a different proposition at 8-1, isn't it?
Having said, I mean, there's still a lot to like, even at 8-1. Yeah. But yeah, all right, okay, that's unfortunate, right?
Unfortunate, yeah. The 16s didn't look to hang around for too long. Right, let's stick with you then, Brendan, for the Camage Trophy. Much smaller field. Disappointing, really, because we've just got the 7 here. Baradar is your 2-1 favourite for the Bowie operation, taking on Marshman for Carl Burke at 3-1. Orazio in there at 100-30 for the Hills team. We know what talent he has. Is Baradar the right favourite in here?
I think he is. Yeah, I mean, he has a love affair with this place, doesn't he? And has his conditions. I mean, would have had a real chance in the Lincoln. So the fact that they come here looks to be a bit of pace on again, despite the small field. The two Grand Tour fillies should push it along. But just at a price, I thought I might have something small on a day in Devon. Very likeable filly, this is relentlessly progressive as a two-year-old. Finishes up with a second to a promising filly of Godolphin's, that Romantic Style, with Navassa Island back in Perth. That looks good form. That was over 6 furlongs. She was staying on strongly at the end. The 7 shouldn't be a problem. The only blip in her progression as a two-year-old actually came in over 7 furlongs at Goodwood, but I wouldn't read too much into that. She was never going to yard that day. I don't think it was the trip. Now, I mean, she's rated 95. the top rated horse here is 108, so she does have to progress, but she gets the 3-year-old allowance, she gets the filly's allowance, she'll handle the ground. The boy Milman has had 3 winners in the last couple of weeks, so he seems to have them going well. Just at 16-1, I'd have to have something small on her, but it wouldn't be a strong opinion.
Now, she is still 16-1. Have you ever been to Devon, Brendan?
No, Cornwall is as close. Cornwall's a neighbouring county, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And do you know what? I've never been to Devon, but I've only been to Cornwall as well. So that's interesting, yeah. Cornwall's become going a little bit out of fashion, though, you know, over here. It's just too much of a cliche to go on your sort of staycation down to Cornwall. So I think Devon is benefiting from that.
Well, I want to go to Devon because I believe that some of the most expensive real estate in the UK is in a place, is it called White Cliffs or something in Devon? And yeah. The boy Harry Redknapp lives there. And I mean, Harry Redknapp, I mean, just he's basically a one-man advertisement for owning horses, isn't he? When he had that winner in Cheltenham, he's talking about, oh, yeah, I'm staying with Ben and I was out and all the staff were seeing yeah. Because I often think owning horses is quite a passive experience, but not for Harry. He absolutely lives and breathes it. He was great.
I'd say they know how to really enjoy every winner they get. And yeah, definitely he is an advertisement for owning horses. Anyway, let's link back. Brendan's tip here a day in Devon for anyone who missed that link. Daryl Carter, have you ever been to Devon? No, I want your tip, really.
Harry Redknapp's.
Well, Pompey man, though, so
he gets my vote. A day in Devon, yeah, getting £13
for
the allowance. I'd be having a very small saver, but I thought Montasib was the one to be with. I thought he was slightly overpriced at fives. If you ignore the Donny run last year, in which came in a first time tongue tie, he obviously didn't like that. He's 2-for-2 on soft ground. He's unexposed, obviously, at sprint trips. He comes off the back last season when we last saw him winning that big York handicap over significantly, probably unlucky in the Air Gold Cup as well. That was a career best. He's had very few opportunities at 6 furlongs, goes well in the mud. I think he's still got more to give this horse for William Haggis. They did mention last year that they finally found his trip. So glad to see them sticking at it at 6 furlongs. And I think he'd go well. Good bit of pace on for him. Should set up nicely.
Okay, perfect. Daryl, I shall stick with you for the big one then, the Lincoln Handicap, and there are another 6 places available to you here. So very generous from Team Betfair. 6 places and a maximum field of 22. This is a thing of beauty. Come on, the Lincoln. And as a result, we've got a really healthy betting heat here. Liberty Lane, who's done it here before at the back end of last season in soft ground that time, 4-1. Obviously, that handicap nowhere near as competitive, well, not quite as competitive as this. Taking on Awile, 9-2, and Chesame, this horse who obviously won the Irish Lincoln back last Sunday, coming here to try and do the Irish English Lincoln double. I mean, I love this. I love this from Fozzie Stack. I love the interview he did after this race, just pretty coy about it, but he definitely said with a wry smile, we left him in the English Lincoln at Doncaster, and it looks like they're going to line up. It adds a great bit of intrigue, doesn't it, Daryl?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Big ask from stall 3 as well. But what a story that would be. I'm going to look away from the top of the market. I was looking at Spirit Genie, and I couldn't believe they opened this up at 100-1. That's now well and truly bloody gone in the last 20 minutes. But this is a progressive horse who was a massive eye catcher at Newmarket back in November, chasing out Dashing Roger. It's come from a mile off the pace, and you know, another 15, 20 yards would have been the winner. But went to Wolverhampton after that. I'd ignore the run on the all weather, north of 3 now, and well beaten each time. I'd just completely disregard that. But love soft ground, will love a strong pace. It's drawn where I'd want my horse to be drawn in stall 22. Yeah, and it's just a progressive four-year-old for Jenny Candlish, and I think it's ahead of the handicapper. This obviously is a far more competitive scenario than the horse has ever had to endure so far, but I wouldn't want to let this one go without having a few quid. And the other one would be Latam, who I think is a horse you need to be catching off the back of a break. Gone to Julie Camacho now. But this horse has got a tremendous record on the back of a 50-day break or more. Was arguably unlucky in his only defeat when coming off a back of a break. That was to a resurgent Ross Collin at Goodwood, at his favourite Goodwood last September. Soft ground conditions. everything's in his favour off a very fair mark if he can put it all together. And I do think catching off a break is the time to catch him. So obviously won the Irish Lincolnshire last year. When fresh this year, hopefully the English Lincoln.
Love it. Okay. Spirit Genie and LATAM then for Daryl. You're definitely allowed a couple of darts in here. Brendan, one of my cliff horses goes in here. That Far Too Shy for the George Margerson yard. Why are you laughing?
No. It will become apparent why I'm laughing shortly. But okay. Imagine of the 22 horses, that's the one you picked out. Why is she a cliff horse for you?
I don't know. I just really like her. I like the way she goes through her races. There's times where I thought that she was going to be classier than she's ended up being, essentially. Mm. I'm a big fan of the Margerson operation. I've been on course a couple of times when she's won, including at Doncaster in a handicap. Wasn't last season, the season before, but I also I was covering those Yarmouth races again a few seasons back when she dotted up a couple of times with and it was then that I thought that she was going to be kind of better, I suppose, than she's ended up being. But look, she's a mid-90 rated mare. She's worth a lot of money. And I just like the way she can sometimes show glimmers of real class. I'd say she's probably not the most straightforward, but I like the idea of Benoit de la Saye on. I don't know about the heavy ground, but at 25-1, I'll let her be my cliff horse.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I should say that Fozzie Stack, the VBR and Daryl Carter, there is no English Lincoln. This is the Lincoln. Just for the pedants out there, it's like the Open, it's like the Derby. They won't be happy. So my selection in the Lincoln is Far Too Shy. Now, it must be said that I like to make 10 horses in the race, so I just decided to go with the one that was the biggest price with the extra places.
Okay.
A talented, if tricky, sort. You basically made my case. She won first time up last year. She has course form. She seems ground versatile. Wouldn't look handicapped out of it. I could see her running into the six. I wouldn't fall off the chair if she won. And she, as you said, she's 25-1. So there you go.
I'd like to say that she's kind of my spirit animal, you know, talented, tricky, has shown glimmers of class before, but her name, unfortunately, doesn't correlate with me. I have never been called Far Too Shy. That is for sure. Right. But that does, I'm delighted with that. I'm delighted that we have roughly just about landed on the right horse. But yeah, with 6 places, 25-1, Far Too Shy. Love it. Right, let's dart over to Newbury, please. Few races. This is very leisurely, this, isn't it? It's like half a shift, this, for us guys on this show currently, because we've just got 3 races at Newbury to cover. And we will start with the 210, Daryl. It's a novice's handicap hurdle. It's over the 2 miles, 3 furlongs. And the horse really on a roll at the moment is Into the Park, who comes here as your 9-4 favourite for the Philip Hobbs, Johnson White yard. Taking on Ivy Wooden here for Jamie Snowden at 5-1. Spirits Bay is in there, 5-1 as well. So we have a pretty clear-cut favourite here. Do you expect him to continue his progression?
Well, if you look back at his point-to-point and read the comments where it says he was travelling fine in third before coming down behind the subsequent champion bumper winner, Jasmine DeVoe, then you'd probably think that marker 26 is still well within reach. One with good bit in hand at Taunton last time, but look, he's a 9-4 shot. He's the right price. He's the right favourite. So you kind of, you know, you got to look elsewhere, really. I think there's an each way bet in here, and I think it's I Love My Bay for Stuart Crawford. Doncaster last time, I don't know what happened. I don't know why they went up the 3 miles. I didn't think the horse gave any indication of wanting to go to 3 miles in a River Don, but they did. Previous to that, really won well at Ayr, beating a Magic Wave, another progressive horse that was racking up wins left, right and centre. The time before at Haydock was behind Camsinas and making headway. Came from off the pace, but was given a fairly easy time by Daryl Jacob. I think he was always going to be chasing down the winner, but I thought he could have finished a lot closer than the 14 length suggest that day. And it's just an unexposed horse in a handicap. And I think a mark of 123 will be left behind in due course. I think there's more to come. I think this middle distance trip is perfect. I think soft ground is absolutely spot on. And I think there's more to come from I Love My Bay. So I thought there's a lot of unexposed horses in here with like seconds and first next to their name, but I don't think a whole load of them have achieved a great deal. And I think there could be a lot more to come from I Love My Bay. So 10-1 each way, that'll do for me against the five.
Okay, great. Let's move on. 2.5 mile handicap chase up next at Newbury. Just the 7 runners, but 20 grand up for grabs. And of course, Dan Skelton trying to add every penny into the coffers for the Trainers' Championship at the moment. And Heltonham is your 7-4 favourite, up £6 from what he did here over the course and distance when we last saw him. Heavy ground that day. Good to soft, might even dry a little bit more. But he travels so well into his race, Brendan. We witnessed that here last time out. And he is your 7-4 market leader, a clear-cut market leader above Eton Kalina and Gunsight Ridge as well, 4-1, 9-2 respectively.
Yes, again, you're half making my case for me. I struggle to get away from it. I know 7-4 is a short price, but... and it was £6 for 2 lengths, but he's absolutely bolted up, hasn't he? He's just travelled all over the map. A few of the
very cosy indeed. It was as cosy as me in my infrared blanket earlier, Brendan.
Oh yes, how did we lose that thread? What are we going to? What the hell is an infrared blanket?
Well, I'm going to put a request out. Do you remember I got sent that egg, which I put also another sort of like line out to the listeners?
Which nobody we still paid... need to hear the ending of, by the way.
Well, there is no ending. It's still in this box, and I still have a 400 quid egg in a box, which I have no idea who sent it to me. So that still remains. But in terms of my infrared blanket, well, let me tell you about this, guys. So it's literally a sleeping bag and you get into it and you set the setting and it's basically like a sauna at home. And I personally am addicted to heat, right? But I also live in muscle soreness pretty much all of the time. So I lay in this blanket today. Wow. It was like an out-of-body experience. Honestly, it was some sort of therapy mixed with mushroom taking like heaven. I honestly was just like in a place of euphoria. 45 minutes later, unzip myself. Obviously, like you're dripping wet because you've just sweated for 45 minutes. Get changed, have a shower. My life has changed. My day has changed. The game has changed, Brendan.
Hashtag ad. Okay, I don't really have any muscular problems, nor indeed. I like mushrooms on toast, I suppose. But I'm going to get one of these because I just want to have an out-of-body experience. That was great. I'm sure that the listeners were glad. I hope so. I was anyway. So, I mean, this is very much after the Lord Mayor's show now after that, but Heltonham, 7-4, short price. I mean, he was very progressive last season. And then you were kind of worried that he'd lost the thread, as I have this season. But the first run over fences this season was that day in Aintree when it was basically unraceable. And he's probably unlucky not to be on a hat-trick because he ran into Golden Sun on a going day. And Golden Sun doesn't have many going days, but when he does, he's a talented horse. I basically thought he got away with it just getting £6 for the last day and he would follow up here for the bang in form Skelton team.
Love it. You pulled it right back there after our little tangent. But we're here for the tangents. We're here for them. Do you agree, Daryl, in all seriousness, that obviously that cosy... two-length victory. You know, he is a short price in here, and I'm sure you'll make a case for something else. But like, as Brendan said, he's a short price for a reason here, really.
Yeah, I was with him last time at Newbury as well, and I'm with him again here. I thought he won with plenty in hand, as Brendan said, at Newbury. The time before at Kempton, the track was a bit too sharp for him. If you watch that back and see how well he's finishing off that race there, again, another 50 yards, he would have won that. This is a progressive horse. I don't think the ground will get too quick for him. I don't think he's that ground versatile. I know it was heavy ground last time, but don't think that's an issue for him. I think 7-4 is a fair price, actually.
Okay, lovely. You think 7-4 is fair? Great. In we go again with Heltonham. On we go, Daryl, to the Mayor's Novices Hurdle. It's limited handicap over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. Last race we're covering, big field here, wide open event. You've got LL Fante in here for Lucinda Russell at 4-1, taking on Party Vibes, Henry Daly 9-2. Smiling Getaway in here for the Twist and Davis Yard, 13-2, was in graded company when we last saw her. Larchmont Lass, I mean, there's loads of horses coming in here off the back of A-Win, 2-Win, stepping into handicap company. And as the market suggests, it really is wide open.
Yeah, I'm just... seen Lindy Riley's in from 33 to 12, for God's sake. This is another from one skeleton to another skeleton. This is this is a progressive horse, I think. I don't think we've seen the best of this horse at all. Really showed up well on debut behind a horse that's actually gone out and won again today in Go to War at Ludlow back in December. Really just nursed out towards the finish. And then did the same again at Ludlow next time. Badly, badly hampered at Doncaster when beaten 24 lengths last time, but again was just nursed out. The way this horse was moving through races suggests that an opening mark of 104 should be well within reach. And even on the third at Ludlow, you can make a case that she could be well handicapped. So, yeah, Lindy Riley for me.
Lindy Riley, the unexposed skeleton mare, 12-1 currently, but was, what, 33s, 20s maybe? Was 33s a bit of a figment of imagination?
No, I think it was definitely 33s. Or yeah, there was at least 25s across the board anyway, but wow, that's gone.
That's gone, long gone. What about you, Brendan, in here? Was this a race you had a view on?
Well, fab. I'm in my fab mode. But party vibes, though, I thought it was a fair price. At 5-1, getting the five places, she's, you know, the feat of that reopposing Ooh Betty, that reads like good form. Step up and trip promises to suit. Will you be hopeful of that for an ex pointer trained by Henry Daly? 121 doesn't look excessive. Alice Stevens takes off £5. She looks a straightforward enough ride, so that £5 is probably worth something. I thought she'd be very hard to kick out of the five and could well win.
Okay, party vibes then. Love that. Right, and finally, boys, let's bounce over to Bangor, where we've got a handicap hurdle, 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. The 130 up there has been shown on ITV. And pick a number for Ollie Murphy. It's 3-1 favourite ahead of Jungle Jack for Donald McCain at 100-30. Another wide open betting heat here. And currently, we've got 8 runners. So fingers crossed it stays that way, Dara.
Yeah, this is a very, very tentative selection because you mentioned a Cliff Horse earlier. Well, I've got one here in Clan Dinnerbo Lad, who has cost me an arm and a leg. But this is obviously fallen right down the handicap, and rightly so for some of the performances he's put in. But I did think the last twice at Ascot and Ludlow over fences were much more encouraging. But I've never really thought of him as a chaser. I thought he was struggling over the big obstacles and coming back to hurdles for the first time. Last time he raced over hurdles, he's raced in mid-130s, now running off 117. I just thought off the back of a break, freshened up, coming back to the smaller obstacles, ground he likes, just might be the time to catch him with David Bass on board to spark a bit of life back into the old lad yet.
Okay, interesting. Currently 10-1 with Betfair. What about you, Brendan, here? Did you get stuck into Bangor?
I didn't get stuck into Bangor, but I do like Symmetry. And we started off with the first race in Doncaster with myself and Daryl Great Minds. I think we can all agree. Well, the Great Minds agreed. And we're finishing up with the Great Minds agreeing on this 10-1 shot. Clang it did, Molo, lad.
Lovely.
I can't add a whole pile more to what Darren said. Just say the last time he ran in handicap hurdle in Bangor was off 141 and he runs here off 117. So I wouldn't back him each way at the same time, but it wouldn't shock you if he bolted up here.
How the mighty have fallen down the handicap. Love it. All right, well, it's time for your naps, guys. We need naps, please. Before we do, listeners, viewers out there, don't forget. Sorry, the dog is barking. Don't forget to check your carousel. Check your carousel for offers, additional places, etc., what you're eligible for. But you do need to do that responsibly. You will need to opt in and just read the T's and C's. I know it's dull, but you should just read the T's and C's, please. Naps. Brendan, let's start with you. Your nap, please.
Yeah, I'm a bit put off now. I know about Pavlov's dog, but I don't know about Vanessa's dog. But when Vanessa's dog hears talk of naps, just starts barking in protest. But despite the fact that the horse is halved in price, I still think 8-1 is fair about Thunder Roar, Jamie Spencer, One Bullet, Bang Bang, 225 in Doncaster.
Perfect. Perfect. We like that. And Daryl, your nap as well, please.
Yeah, a little bit disappointing that he's as short as this for a nap this week, but Heltonham is just so
hard to get away from.
I think he's got everything in his favour and he should just get the job done.
Okay, Perfect. We'll let you have that then. Right, boys. Thank you very much as always. That was very straightforward, very enjoyable. I'm actually going to go back and have a double dose of the infrared sauna blanket. So just wish me luck. I mean, this is how it starts. You're witnessing an addiction beginning.
This is the start.
Right, on that note, listeners, viewers out there, thank you so much for joining us. As always, enjoy the racing at the weekend, enjoy it responsibly, have fun with it, and join us again on Monday when we will be back with Weighed In.